Welcome to season 5 of the Willing Equine podcast, the podcast all about creating positive relationships between horses and people. I'm your host, Adele Shaw, a certified equine behavior consultant, horsemanship mentor, and all-around horse lover. All right, we're back with the third part of our answering questions about what can't be trained with positive reinforcement, what is not possible with positive reinforcement. I asked you guys on social media if you had any either things that you had heard or that you felt like, or maybe you have even experienced that you felt like couldn't be trained with positive reinforcement. It wasn't a trick question. I really wanted to hear what you guys had to say. And so now I'm going through all of the comments that we received about the different things that supposedly or truthfully or like accurately cannot be trained with positive reinforcement. So we've already talked about quite a few. Now we're on part 3. In this episode, I want to specifically talk about, we're going to start with a comment that I received, and it was about walking horses who have just come off of stall rest. So they have lots of energy. They're not allowed to explode due to the injury and how this is not possible to achieve. So keeping the horse safe and calm with positive reinforcement. So if you have a horse that is currently on stall rest and you've never trained them with positive reinforcement before, you've never done any of that, and the first day that they're coming out of stall rest and it's time to start their rehab, you start implementing positive reinforcement, is it possible? Maybe. It's going to be really hard though. That's what it boils down to, is if you don't do the prep work ahead of time, absolutely, that's going to be challenging with positive reinforcement. It would be challenging with anything. I mean, we could even look at traditional, you know, negative reinforcement, pressure and release. It's going to be challenging to manage a horse like that with pressure and release as well. So this is an unideal situation, right? But it's reality. It happens. Horses get hurt, they go on stall rest, and they have to come out into rehab gradually, and they can't just explode and lose their minds. So it's not an ideal situation for learning, period. The horse is too stressed. None of their needs are being met. They're not in an ideal learning environment and a learning state of mind. So we could say that this is challenging to teach or work with any type of training. However, I believe the question is more related to like the actual physical safety of managing a horse that with positive reinforcement that is that explosive, that is that out of control. The idea that a horse that is on stall rest or coming out of stall rest can't be managed with positive reinforcement, I believe is pretty rooted in this idea that positive reinforcement is permissive and is only ideal for already well-behaved horses and not problematic horses or horses that have explosive behaviors or are dangerous to handle, or they're just gentle horses, right? We're thinking like really just chill, older, you know, maybe quarter horse types. I don't know. Just really good, you know, quotation marks horses. Okay. Positive reinforcement works for these horses because they're already good to begin with. So, you know, it's fine because they just don't need a harsh hand. They don't need, you know, really strong handling. They're not out of control, and it's okay to go ahead and do this more permissive type training with them. However, the reality is that regardless of whether you're training with positive reinforcement or negative reinforcement, good training is good training, and we can set our learners up for success and build and shape these behaviors to hold up under duress, basically, but hold up under these stressful situations, these stressful environments. Positive reinforcement is not permissive training. Those are not the same thing. Positive reinforcement doesn't mean we're just handing out treats constantly and like, oh, it's okay if you misbehave and here's your treat. That's not what we're doing. Trainers who are skilled in training with positive reinforcement and understand learning theory and behavior science and how the brain works and how learning works and how to set their learners up for success and how to purposefully and intentionally build the learner's behaviors up to be resilient under stress are going to be successful in achieving good, strong behaviors under these stressful circumstances. So we can take a horse that has been trained to lead calmly and lead well and with very, you know, gorgeous behaviors, and they're well executed. They're very fluent. They're very functional. So safely leading them. So we're going to kind of think about, you know, it's leading for, you know, first walking out of the stall, from stall rest, all that. So we've got a horse that's trained with positive reinforcement and is trained well, and then they're put in a stressful situation, right? And we've got a horse with negative reinforcement that is trained well and then put in a stressful situation. I would argue, actually, that a horse trained with positive reinforcement has a really strong, positive, pleasant history of good outcomes with that handler, and understands that, you know, doing these behaviors, these leading behaviors, are going to result in good outcomes. And so even in stressful situations, they are more likely actually to be safe and manageable by their handler under stress. And I've seen this time and time and time again. As long as the preparation, the prep work is done, is the preparation training done well, then it's more likely to hold up regardless of the approach. But I have experienced this repeatedly with many different horses, horses with extreme behavior problems, where traditional training, natural horsemanship training, all that has failed them over and over and over again, to the point where they were thrown out to pasture because they were too dangerous. They were told, the owners were told, just breed the mare because she's not rideable. She's too dangerous to handle. You might as well just get a baby out of her. I've had horses where they were attacking people through the fence, and people and the owners were told, you need to euthanize this horse. I've had horses that were highly aggressive, highly dangerous to handle. They would rear and kick, and they were super dangerous. Horses that had to be walked on chains and under sedation with muzzle twitches. Horses that had to be nose twitched to have needles to get any medical care. All that be successfully trained with positive reinforcement and are just the chillest, most enjoyable horses to be around and super safe, even under stress. So it's not just that we're taking our horses back to an environment where like stress never happens. I mean, of course, we want to have that experience for them, that environment for them. If we can, we don't want to purposefully stress our horses out. But I have, again, repeated experience with horses that were previously extremely dangerous just under normal circumstances. And then you put them in a stressful situation and they're even more dangerous. And like to the point where one horse that comes to mind, it took three men to handle her and she was still dangerous and she was sedated. And then now she's like the chillest, most gentle horse, even under stress, even when she's having a painful medical procedure, even when she's coming out of stall rest, even when she's injured and under stall in stall rest currently. She's very, very chill and relaxed and just like, okay, I'm going to trust the people. I feel like this is going to be a good outcome. Like, we have that trust history there, and the training history is there. We have prepared the behaviors to withhold stressful situations. Now, of course, animals are animals. Horses are horses. Eventually, every horse can be pushed to become dangerous. And yes, a horse under stall rest is going to be much more stressed, much more anxious. So it's important that we do the prep work. It's important that we do as much as we can to help our horses be successful when we do start that rehabilitation. So things like making sure that their diet is appropriate, that making sure they've had lots and lots and lots of enrichment, and actually positive reinforcement is really beautiful for stall rest situations because we can do tremendous amount of training in a confined or smaller space to prepare the horse for when they come out of that space. But then also it keeps their brain active, which can be tiring and can keep them busy. So lots of activity while they're on stall rest, lots of training while they're on stall rest, lots of enrichment, and then making sure that their diet is appropriate for the stall rest so they don't have this excessive accumulation of energy that's just sitting there like rocket fuel ready to launch basically when we do want to start rehabilitation, making sure that the first times that we do take them out of the stall for rehabilitation, for their hand walking, all that during quiet times, maybe we start off with giving them something to help them. So it could either be a mild sedation if we really need to go that route, but oftentimes just a good calming supplement is adequate. Something that I might use like when I trailer a horse to, just to help them take the edge off, just to take that little edge off. There are many products on the market that are safe and healthy. There's also some alternative, you know, approaches to it, herbal, all of that. We can help our horses by setting them up for success those first couple of times, especially when we start walking them out from their stalls. Anyway, all of this is to say is that absolutely positive reinforcement can be used to successfully walk a horse coming off of stall rest safely. And we don't need to manhandle our horses during these times. We don't need lots of harsh handling, lots of pressure, lots of equipment to handle our horses during these times. Actually, you know, kind of a throwback when I used to train more traditionally. And keep in mind, I trained with like the best and had lots and lots of experience with pressure and release, negative reinforcement, natural horsemanship. I just had tons of experience with all of that. And, you know, I had horses that would go into stall rest for extensive periods. I had one horse that he was on stall rest. I mean, honestly, I'm pretty sure it was 6 months he was on stall rest. It was brutal. It was awful. And he'd only been ever trained with negative reinforcement, and trying to do his rehabilitation was so dangerous. His physical therapy, all of that was so, so dangerous. Now, though, while I'll be honest and I'll say I've not had a horse on 6 months of stall rest, but I have had horses on extensive stall rest before, and the rehab, the physical therapy afterwards, where I have to hand walk and where I have to control all of that movement, is so much more relaxed and so much easier and safer in general. Of course, you know, the horse is still sitting on edge. The horse is still like, ah, I need to move. So we're not completely eliminating that. But because we have that history, and because I offer them a safe place, and because I give them something else to do with their brain and keep them focused, and I've given them lots of enrichment and lots of activity during their stall rest and done lots of training and just all of that, and I'm using something that's not adding on to. So like, think about if they're already stressed and they're already anxious and they're already just a step away from losing it, right? And then we add pressure, an aversive pressure on top of that. We have just, you know, lit the match. We have just, like, it was the final straw. It was the straw that broke the camel's back, right? It was the final piece, and they just like, ah, lose it. But when I can come in instead, and I can see that they're a ticking time bomb, and I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's take a deep breath. Here's some great food. Stay focused on me. And I'm adding an appetitive, a calm, soothing appetitive into the situation. And food is really calming. Food can help them regulate their nervous system. So by feeding them food, I can help bring them back into that rest and restore and digest state of mind versus continuing to amp up into the fight, flight, freeze, like all of that. I can actually bring them back into a calmer state of mind, their nervous system back into a calmer state. So there's lots of really powerful aspects of using positive reinforcement that can make working with a horse that's coming off a stall rest a really much safer experience. But if not that, like, just more successful and everybody having a happier, calmer experience. So basically, to answer this question, that has not been my experience at all, that positive reinforcement isn't effective for walking horses that are coming off a stall rest. Actually, it's been the complete and total opposite. Of course, reference my episodes talking about damage control for situations where the horse is already losing it, and, you know, we're way over threshold and the training hasn't held up, like, and you're in a dangerous situation. That's not a training situation. That's a damage control. Like, shoot, this is all falling apart. Like, how do we fix this? And I plan to talk about this more in future episodes, but for now, you can reference my older episodes on damage control for talking about those specific emergency type situations. But that's not what this was about. This is, this particular question was more about, like, just safely handling horses that are coming off of stall rest. And I do strongly believe and have experienced time and time again that positive reinforcement is very effective for this. Okay, dovetailing off of that, just kind of moving on from that, which really ties in, was the comment that positive reinforcement isn't effective for de-escalating a panicked horse. For example, separation anxiety. This, and I basically just talked about this, I have not found to be true either. Positive reinforcement is actually very effective for helping de-escalate a horse, especially if you have that trust bank, right? That bank account is really full of good experiences together. The horse knows they can trust you and that they can rely on you to keep them safe and nothing bad ever happens, kind of thing going on. So if you have that trust and that positive history together, positive reinforcement can be so effective for helping de-escalate a panicked horse. It will not, like, if you have a horse well over threshold and just losing their mind and to the point where they're not taking food anymore, they are just in a totally panicked, over threshold state of mind, then we've moved into like we're in damage control emergency, and you may need to use some level of aversive handling to de-escalate the situation and get both you and your horse back to a safe place so that you can go back into a training environment and reset up the training so that you can help your horse. But once we've moved into that space where a horse is so panicked and so upset that they won't take food anymore, they're not responding to the handler very much, we're not in a training environment anymore. So whether or not we're focusing on using positive reinforcement or negative reinforcement, I would consider this position that we're in at this point with a panicked horse, where we're really having to manhandle them or increase the aversiveness level of our handling to keep everybody safe. It's kind of a fail, right? Something happened. We have pushed the horse beyond their capacity. We have set them up for failure, even by accident. And it happens. It does happen to the best of us, to the best trainers, the most professional, top of the line, most well-recognized trainers. This does happen. And we have to help our horses in the moment with as little manhandling and as little aversive, unpleasant techniques as possible. But really the goal here at this point is, how do I get my horse back to a place of safety? How do I get myself back to a place of safety? So yes, we may have to increase how intense our handling is, how much pressure we're using, etc. But first, I find, especially if we have that trust history, like if I have a lot of training with this horse, a lot of experience with this horse, and we have that bank account really established, and the horse has a really strong foundation in positive reinforcement, I've had horses where, you know, they're losing it. And I cue them to do something with positive reinforcement, target something, whatever, give them a hand target, ask them to back up, and they refocus on me. And they're like, oh yeah, okay, humans here, we're all good. And they're still stressed. I mean, they're not like all of a sudden just like a light switch and they're back to calm. That's not how it works for anything. But you can see them go, okay, I can do this, and I can help them de-escalate. But again, you have to put the work in. You have to lay that foundation. You have to build that relationship with that horse, and you have to prepare them to be able to redirect in a good way their attention back to you and to de-escalate. And we can use positive reinforcement trained behaviors because of that trust history, because of how strong that positive reinforcement history is, how repetitive that experience is. We can use those to help our horse regulate their nervous system and de-escalate from a panic situation. But of course, when it's moved into a damage control and type of situation, you do what you have to do to stay safe with as little harsh handling as possible, and then go back to the drawing board. Now we need to go back to training, and now we need to go back to setting our horse up for success and keeping them under threshold and preparing them to handle that situation in the future in a much safer way, and building and building and building their resilience or their tolerance of that kind of experience in a way where they can stay calm and relaxed in it, and they can maintain responsiveness to their handler, and their behaviors can remain functional even under that more stressful or unique situation that you weren't prepared for, potentially them to panic in. So I'd consider, you know, if the horse is panicked, we need to reevaluate our training. We need to reevaluate what we've asked the horse to do, the environment we've set up for them, all of that. But absolutely, if you've done the foundational work, if you've done the work in the relationship side, the bank account side, and you've really put in the time, just like with any kind of training, positive reinforcement can be extremely effective, if not more effective in my experience, in de-escalating a horse that is starting to get stressed and more panicked and needs help, you know, soothing their nervous system and calming back down. And food can be really, really powerful for this. Okay, we're going to go for one more, and that's about calm behavior while the trailer is moving. So this is an interesting one, because the original comment was talking about how no matter how much training went into preparing the horse to ride in the trailer, that once the horse is in the trailer and the trailer starts moving, positive reinforcement is ineffective and doesn't work anymore, and the horse is still stressed. I think there's a lot to this situation, and I want to preface this by saying that I think that trailering for most horses, if not all horses, is an unpleasant, aversive experience no matter what we do. It's just not natural. Like the whole thing, I'm surprised they get into trailers, to be honest. I don't know why any horse would get into a trailer other than, you know, they're either afraid of the consequences if they don't, which is what unfortunately a lot of training is based off of, you know, make the right thing easy, the right thing or the wrong thing hard, right? So it's more miserable to be outside the trailer than it is to be in it. Or they're just kind of blindly obedient and robotic about doing whatever the human's asking because of that same methodology. And even if it's mild, I'm not saying it's always like an overt, like we're chasing the horse around and beating him outside the trailer. I'm not talking about that. There's just pressure outside the trailer and then there's rest inside the trailer. Even in a very, very mild capacity and a really steady and easygoing, it can be hard to, like, I don't know that that actually makes the trailer a, I just can't see that being like creating good associations with the trailer and actually making the trailer like a good place. It's just that being outside the trailer is less good, right? So it's like the lesser of two evils they're picking, and they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And so since horses are really a very peaceful species, really, they want to get along. They just want to kind of make everybody happy, and they're just a very passive, like, okay, let's all get along. It can be really easy to, even with mild levels of pressure, to make that be the thing that the horse will choose getting into the trailer. Okay. So then with positive reinforcement, we try with counter conditioning. So, or classical conditioning, we are using food to create positive associations with being inside the trailer. However, as in the comment said, that is very successful. It's very effective. This is a very effective approach to trailer training. Until the trailer starts moving, then sometimes horses will begin to panic and it's like, okay, I can't handle this anymore. And all of a sudden they're trapped inside this box and their freedom is taken away and there's no way for them to flee. There's nothing to fight, really. And they're just trapped and they have no choice. And now they're stuck in this death box. It's a really scary situation for all horses to be in. And I think a lot of horses tolerate it, but some horses really, really do not. There's also the information that potentially some horses get really motion sick and we just don't even know about it, but there's some science and research to indicate that it's very possible that many horses get very motion sick inside of trailers. So then we're adding that on top of the situation. Then we've got even more things. We've got the chaos of the trailer, the noise. A lot of horses are very noise sensitive. We've got the smells of being in the city and driving on the roads. Horses are very sensitive, have a very sensitive sense of smell. We've got the vibration of the trailer floor. We've got the fact that at least in the US, a lot of trailers are front loading trailers, and they've shown that horses prefer to be, you know, rear facing, at least many horses do. We've got in like where I live, it's so hot inside of trailers, no matter how many windows are open. A lot of people here choose on purpose to have like stock trailers because they are more open. Then you have the fact that like you're taking the horse away from their herd most of the time and they're leaving home and they're going somewhere potentially really stressful, like the vet or a show. There's like a lot of factors that make trailers unpleasant. I am trying to think of like a reason why trailers would ever be a pleasant experience for a horse. I mean, even if they're going somewhere to get off the trailer and just go eat grass and then get back on and go home, it's still, I don't know that that outweighs, you know, the stress of the trailer. With that being said, though, if we break down the process of trailering into small enough approximations and we can counter condition or classically condition every aspect of the trailer. So if the horse is panicking because of the movement of the trailer, maybe building a board, kind of like a wobble board, where they start to get familiar with that movement and we can create good associations with that movement in the trailer. That might be an option. I would first start off with something more like a balance mat that has a little bit of instability, but not as much as like a whole board that moves or shakes. Maybe even something that vibrates would be a really good thing to practice here. If the horse is fearful about being trapped inside the trailer, then we need to start practicing in like chutes and in small spaces, walking through narrow spaces. We can even set up fence panels to be gradually narrower and narrower, and then making them solid walls. Maybe it's the light to dark. Like, there's a lot of different factors behind trailering that could be aversive to the horse. And so in order to be successful in making trailering a more enjoyable experience for horses with positive reinforcement in particular, but also even with negative reinforcement, we really need to break down the individual components of trailering and make each and every individual aspect a pleasant experience through classical conditioning, and then gradually make it a little bit more difficult, a little bit more challenging until it replicates the trailer. And then we need to start combining factors. So then it's unstable floor with the narrow passageway. Then it's unstable floor with the narrow passageway in the dark. Like, we start adding and adding and adding until we have this horse in the trailer. And then we need to also keep in mind that for every time that the horse has a bad experience in the trailer, so you hook it up to the trailer and you take them to the vet because it's an emergency, we need to load them into the trailer and make it fun and enjoyable like 20 times. I don't know if there's an exact ratio. Maybe there's some research on this that I haven't looked into, that of an exact ratio of appetitive experiences to aversive experiences. But that's something that we need to keep in mind, is we need to be constantly putting more deposits into the trust piggy bank account. So the appetitive bank account. So how many times is getting into the trailer a pleasant experience, and even going down the road a little bit, a pleasant experience for the one time that's aversive? And then we need to keep in mind, you know, like, what is aversive to the horse, and look at it through the horse's lens, and maybe start off with just like the shortest little trailer rides, like just a moving a couple of inches where that horse can feel a little bit of instability while maybe somebody's in the back of the trailer, of course, safely in a private place, in a private environment, and feeding the horse. So the trailer moves a little bit and we've got something pleasant coming, and then we get out of the trailer. And so doing that foundational work with the positive reinforcement, and then breaking it down into individual pieces, and then really, really focusing on the aspect of classical conditioning. So those developments of the associations, and really heavily relying on that, like heavily, heavily, heavily relying on that, is going to make trailering a more pleasant experience, and will make it so that we can use positive reinforcement effectively with trailering. And actually, this goes back to what we kind of talked about before, where I have personally experienced time and time again and found that positive reinforcement is more effective in trailer training and making the trailer ride experience enjoyable than the use of negative reinforcement with trailer training and helping the horse get used to trailering. Can we ever fully make it a totally enjoyable, positive experience? I think there's going to be some horses that's not 100% possible. The best we're going to be able to hope for is they will get into the trailer when we ask them to, and then we just have to heavily follow up with good experiences. And then some horses, I absolutely believe that we can make trailering a good experience where they're just jumping into the trailer and they love to go places. I actually have a horse like this where, well, at least until she had like 3 back-to-back really terrible experiences. And so that created a really bad association with trailering, which we've overcome, but it's never been quite the same. But initially, when she was younger, I'd open that trailer door and she jumped right in. She loved going places. We'd go down the road to a park and we'd get out and do some hiking, and then she'd jump right back in. We'd go home, and we did this over and over and over again, and she loved it every time. But definitely we had some experiences that happened because, you know, life happens, that were pretty traumatic. She had a bunch of surgeries back to back, and that really set us back. So then she's now into that category of the trailer's never going to be 100% awesome for her, but I can work really heavily on making it a more enjoyable experience using classical conditioning and positive reinforcement, and see results that are, that make it so that we can trailer for as needed for emergencies. She'll jump in now, and also just for everyday use. So I do believe that positive reinforcement is really effective for making trailering an enjoyable experience for the horse, even when it's moving. However, there's some individuals where it's going to be a little bit harder no matter what training approach you're taking, just because of their past experiences and just because of how aversive the trailer is for horses in general, and particularly those individuals. Thanks so much for listening. If you have any questions, please do email me at info@thewillingequine.com. If you'd like more information on my courses, coaching, consulting, or even access to free resources, please do check out my website, thewillingequine.com. If you like this podcast or this episode, please do leave feedback on the platform that you listen to it on.